They presented the argument that there was a long-term conspiracy about what happened in Rwanda. That story was not supported by the evidence, according to the court. And you see, the problem is that it's inconvenient to use logic that comes to a contrary conclusion than the one that Paul Kagame would like, and that's the reason I'm accused.
A small group of young Rwandans had come to the event to accuse Professor Peter Erlander of being a genocide denier. But he stood his ground. It is the International Tribunal's judges, he said, who asserted that the prosecution had not proved the chief accusation that the Hutu officers had conspired to commit genocide, not he. Instead, there is growing evidence that Paul Kagame may have started the massacre by ordering the shooting down of the plane carrying former President Habyarimana and his Burundian counterpart.
We know from the subsequent indictments that were issued by a French judge and by a Spanish judge and by the testimony of members of the shoot-down crew at the Rwanda tribunal, as well as RPF officers that were at the Malindi headquarters of the RPF the night that the president's plane was shot down, that within an hour, the order for the final assault to seize power was given by General Kagame.
Mr. Erlander also mentioned that the UN Gersony report summary had been released to an internet website in 2010, which stated that up to 10,000 Hutu refugees a month had been executed by the Rwandan army from April to August 1994. But had the International Tribunal been aware of the crimes committed by the RPF and kept silent about them? The answer is yes.
In 2003, I went to Arusha, Tanzania to decide whether I should take a case or not. While I was there, Carlo Del Ponte, who was the chief prosecutor of the tribunal, had a press conference in which she announced that she was prepared to prosecute Paul Kagame for the assassination of the previous president, Juvenal Habyarimana, and the winners of the war, the RPF, for war crimes and crimes against humanity.
Carlo Del Ponte, in her 2009 memoir, said she was fired 2 months after she resisted U.S. pressures to desist, and that as early as September 1994, the U.S. Secretary of State Warren Christopher and the ICTR were aware of Kagame's crimes. But why would the U.S. be so intent on covering up these crimes?
The cover-up of the crimes began in October of 1994 because USAID and the State Department were not aware of how involved the Pentagon had been with the building up of the RPF. And the problem that causes for the United States is it means the United States was actually complicit in the military buildup and the strategy that made it possible for the mass killing in Rwanda to take place.
Perhaps to maintain a semblance of credibility, the Obama White House is beginning to pay some attention to Kagame's human rights record.
Pentagon policy hasn't changed, and 2 weeks ago, the head of AFRICOM was in Kigali, scoping out Kigali as a site for the location of AFRICOM headquarters, and had a lot of public meetings with Kagame. However, there's also a lot of uncertainty because former supporters of the Kagame regime are leaving and going into asylum, and the criticism of the dictatorship is increasing around the world.
For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.